weekend, just a leisurely stroll into the Charleston Classic for Brad Brownell and the Clemson Tigers, with two good wins over West Virginia and Georgia, including overtime win yesterday. And Brad Brownell joins us right now to talk about that. Coach, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, how are we feeling today?
Oh, feeling great. Thanks, guys. Voice a little bit hoarse here after a couple games, but, you know, really proud of our team. Just give our guys a lot of credit. I just think we found ways to win, and you know, that's what you want out of your teams is guys who are just super competitive. I thought R.J. Godfrey and Dylan Hunter just were tremendous leaders during the weekend, and we had a bunch of different guys step up and make big plays in games and found a way to win two tough games.
You know, it is interesting that, you know, you're watching a game and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, who's he going to draw up a play for? And it literally felt like offensively you could have drawn up anything for anybody. It just felt like your team in the final 4 to 6 minutes of both games just locked in and executed. Did it feel that way, coaching them a little bit, that those last 4 to 6, and even the 5-minute overtime that you had to play yesterday, that it just felt like there was a level of focus and execution that allowed you the freedom to be able to coach how you needed to in every situation?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the thing about both games is they were really unique. They were different. West Virginia was more of the ground and pound, and it's half-court execution and toughness and, you know, on both ends of the floor. And in the Georgia game is obviously you're getting pressed from the start, and they're running and jumping and trying to not let you get any kind of rhythm and throw you out of your stuff. And so we had to try to make a couple of adjustments. I thought we did. Obviously in the West Virginia game late, we went to a couple pick-and-pop ball screens with Carter Welling, and, you know, it's kind of one of those decisions where he can shoot it or drive it and make plays, and obviously he made two threes. And then they start switching, and we went to a little high-low wrinkle, and the guys were able to execute, so that really helped. Then against Georgia, it was more of, hey, they're trapping and stuff, and we just got to do something simple in the middle of the floor after we break the press, and we set something up with Butta and RJ and Dylan and just kind of said, hey, let's get in some space and let those guys read the game and play off of a middle pick and roll and see what happens. And they were able to do that. We did that probably 20 times in the second half. And so that was pretty good for us. So, you know, just having some guys that can be versatile and do different things, that's how you have to execute if you're going to have a good team.
I felt like both games were really physical, Coach, maybe in a little different way from each other, but still physical, that kind of game that maybe prepares you, helps you later in the season. But so one is, you know, that level of competition, I would imagine, is something that you build on going forward. But what did you learn about your team maybe that you didn't know before this weekend that now you feel a little better about?
Well, you first of all, some resiliency, right? I learned it a little bit up at Georgetown. I thought we played very well at Georgetown, especially, you know, the first 20 minutes, you know, and then we had a couple bad plays and they made some plays and we got behind. But then we rallied back and gave ourselves an outside shot with a, you know, we were just a possession down and right there on the road against a pretty good team. And so I think that game really helped us in these two games. But then the ability our guys to make free throws down the stretch, to execute, make some shots against West Virginia, you're just encouraged by those things. I mean, we have to still do those things going forward to win. But to see that your guys can do it, to see a guy like Butta Johnson come off the bench and play very well, and I thought, you know, he was kind of an unsung hero in the tournament. We don't win the tournament without his solid play. Mm-hmm. RJ's spirit can't talk enough about the spirit that he brings every day and just what that means as a, you know, just to your team, every huddle, the passion that he shows and plays with, and the way he lifts up the level of the other players, because guys know how we do things and they're kind of learning and this team is growing, but like you have to do these things with each other, and like you need some guys to kind of help spark it, and certainly I think RJ has done that, you know, a ton in these, in the last two games.
Great stat from Tim Beret here. Clemson Google gets in and says, this weekend marked the first time in 17 years that Clemson men's basketball overcame a 10-point deficit to win consecutive games. And my question to you related to that is, what are the huddles like when you are behind a few points? Obviously, it was earlier in the Georgia game and a little bit later in West Virginia where you guys have like 10 minutes left, you're down 10. But what are the huddles like? Is it a lot of player talking? Is it you guys directing? What are those like when you're having to scratch and claw your way back?
Well, I think, and it's funny, I had a friend of mine who, Ed DeCellis, who's actually the former coach at Navy and at Penn State, was sitting behind our bench. And one thing he commented on was that our players were communicating in the huddles themselves while I was out talking to the assistants, you know, kind of getting my message of what I'm going to say every time. And so that was good to hear, because sometimes you wonder if the guys are just sitting there, right? And there are teams where they are just sitting there. And I think that's one of the differences. That's where RJ and Dylan, there's a passion there, and there's obviously an expectation because they've played in our program and know what I want to see. And so those guys were communicating. And then when I get into the huddle, it's, you know, to find the pulse of your team. Are they anxious? Are they excited? Are they down? What is it? And how do you get them back? And a lot of times in those scenarios, it's just reminding them that there's still a lot of basketball left. You know, relax. Like, basketball changes quickly. It only takes about seconds for a 10-0 run to happen. And so the three-point just changes everything. And, you know, if you have the ball and you get a score, stopping a score, and, you know, in 45 seconds, all of a sudden, you know, you've changed the game and got some momentum. And so constantly talking about small things like that, and then one or two adjustments that you might need to make, or an emphasis here or there, really all you're trying to do. And then, you know, then you got to trust your players, and obviously the players are the ones that ultimately have to win these games for you.
Coach, I would just add to that too. Yesterday you had a foul late in the game, maybe not the best foul in the world. Other players on the floor sort of did the coaching for you on the floor about that, and Dylan especially. I love seeing that. I think that's something every team needs, and you know, the player didn't need to be told that it was a bad.
Yeah, I think the big thing too. Yeah, I think one of the things that's really happening on our team is because we have so many new players, they're all just kind of – every team is, you know, has its own identity, but, you know, it's almost its own personality. And, like, it's being shaped all the time. And your young guys are watching everybody, coaches, players. Like, one of the things that young players learn is how serious this really is. We're not just out there playing a game. Like, there's a little more to it than that. And sometimes that's hard for them. But they don't understand that mistake you just made on that possession might be the one that ultimately could be a major factor in the game. And so, like, that's why people aren't happy with you right now, right? And we can't have that turnover. Or we went over that in practice three times, and now you made this mistake. Like, that's one of the reasons why your teammates are chastising you right now, right? Like, you know, there's some things that happen. And then there's also just – and that's what I'm talking about, like, the spirit of your team – the competitive fight, like, where is it? And it's hard to, and that's what's so hard about all this is these seasons are so long. And so in order to keep that kind of spirit with a team for 4 or 5 months is really hard. But at the beginning of a year, you don't really know if your team has it or what level of fight do they really have. And so I think that's what you're trying to find as a coach. You're hoping your team has it. It has to come from some of your players. You know, have you been able to instill some of that in them? Do they instill it in the other players? And I think that's what I was most proud of with our team, was that I thought Dylan and RJ were really trying to show that this weekend. Because we didn't always play great, but we certainly fought hard. And ultimately, especially against West Virginia, our defense, our fight defensively was just good enough to give us a chance to make a couple baskets and for somebody to get hot like Carter to win a game.
He is Brad Brownell, head men's basketball coach at Clemson. The Tigers, back-to-back wins over the weekend at the Charleston Classic against West Virginia, and then yesterday against Georgia in overtime. The one question I got at church yesterday a bunch was about Nick Davidson. And I thought the second half yesterday, man, one of the biggest plays of the whole game, and I loved it. I actually rewound it to watch him. When he gets on the floor for an offensive rebound and kicks it out, and I think Dylan hits a three left wing, maybe like 6-7 minutes left in the game to give you guys the lead. It seemed like there was an edge to him after halftime yesterday. What did you see from him, and maybe even from Carter stepping up and taking some of those minutes over the weekend, sort of flopping in that five position?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was really proud of Nick because he had 9 rebounds yesterday in 21 minutes, which is, that's an incredible ratio. You know, if you get a rebound once every 3 minutes, you're doing big time work. And I thought that was a huge play, like you said. So that's the one thing we've been kind of talking to Nick about is, hey, man, focus on the rebounding right now. Like, you're scoring and all those things, it's going to come. We're not worried about that. We got other guys that can make a shot. Carter can score. RJ can score. Like, you know, we just need to get you back to being you, and it starts with rebounding. And so I thought Nick's defense was outstanding yesterday. I thought his play, he settled us down a couple times and made some good decisions against the press or after the at the end of the press when we broke it. I thought he played well. And so that's good to see. And we're going to need that moving forward.
Totally different kind of player, Coach, but I was thinking about watching him yesterday, thinking about Joe Girard when he first started last year, that, you know, he wasn't a big three-point shooter in the first handful of games. He needed time to sort of find his role on the team. Is that kind of where you are with Nick right now? Just got to find his spot?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit, yeah, I mean, some of it's on the player, right, to get comfortable and try to figure it out. We're trying to do everything we can as a coaching staff. And then sometimes, hey, you have a bad game or two. You just don't play as well as you should. And you get a little out of sorts, you get a little in your own head, and now you got to kind of play through it. And good players figure it out. Good players, you know, I just kind of kept telling him in the huddles, hey, man, make a winning play. Make a winning play. That was kind of the phrase I was using with him all yesterday. And a winning play is a defensive rebound. It's a defensive decision, or it's a great pass. It's something that doesn't require you to score. And I think he did that yesterday, and I think that really helped. And so I agree with you. I think it is taking some time. He's trying to adjust. You know, he's playing with different players, RJ and Carter. You know, one of the great things, they're different. I think RJ's playing at a very high level right now. And Carter was, you know, has shown flashes of being terrific. And, you know, it's just not as easy for him to play as long right now. So that's why we need all three of them. They all three need to help us, and they will, I think, moving forward.
I'm curious your thoughts on this. I think everybody would agree that the strength of your team, that depth inside and your skill in the front court, I think that was – everybody knew that. But I'm looking out there on the court in some of the critical moments, and you've got three guards on the floor and Wallin and Godfrey, and, you know, you can kind of flop who you play at that five. But you were able to have success in very important possessions on both ends of the floor with a little bit of a smaller lineup. Is that more like late game, you're trying to get free throw shooters on the floor, you're trying to space it a little bit, or is it the particularities of these matchups that it just ended up being like that at the end of this game? And then how do you feel like those lineups performed?
Well, I think the small lineup was in partial response to Georgia. Obviously, all the pressing, I decided to play Buttermore and wanted a third ball handler just to handle the ball against all that heat, and I thought that was good for us. We also, they had a kind of a four-man in Catchings that was a little bit like more of a three-man type four shooter. And so just in order for team speed purposes, we didn't want to be out-athleted in terms of speed at the four and the five. We knew the five would be hard. And so we downsized and put Jake out there so we could at least maintain the speed and ball handling. We could still spread the court with shooting because Jake can make threes. But then there's a lot on the center, whether it's Carter or Nick played some center or RJ, all three. And RJ was the guy that kind of finished the game yesterday. There's a lot on that guy then, but RJ was, you know, more than willing and able to handle it. You know, the thing that was different was the game against West Virginia. We actually went big and we played Carter and RJ together down the stretch. And those two guys playing big was the best way for us to play to finish that game. Because they had size, and we felt like we needed to match that, and we felt like our size was better. And so we were kind of dictating how the game was going to be played, and that's what I hope is what's good about our team, is that we can play a couple different ways, match teams stylistically, and then, you know, give ourselves chances.
You faced two different defensive styles this week, and you've talked about this a little bit, but it felt like you had good counters to the over-pursuit and some of the trapping things that Georgia did, and then Friday – I thought the skipping through, like, ball screen traps that West Virginia, when it got heavy ball side, that you guys did a lot of that. Do you feel like the game plan that you had to take advantage of the aggression of those two teams in different ways, do you feel like you guys executed that up to and including, like, making those shots when you got them?
I think, you know, the second half of both games, we adjusted much better. We were okay. not very good in the beginning of the Georgia game. I think their speed and athleticism even shocked, you know, Dylan, to be honest with you. And the ball was in his hands a few times, and, you know, we were having a hard time getting any kind of really good flow and rhythm, and they were aggressive, and it's kind of like, you know, you didn't really get to practice. You only got to kind of walk through the day in between. And I kind of told them, guys, it's going to be a lot different now when this is live, because this is high-level speed and athleticism. And it put us on our heels the first 10 minutes. You know, the West Virginia was more of strength and bottling you up in positioning. They're a very good defensive positioning team, and they kind of handcuff you if you get in the wrong places. And there were times they did that to us. But to our guys' credit, I mean, that's why we work so hard on our defense, is just to kind of give ourselves chances to you know, do the same to them and to make it hard for them to score and give ourselves chances to eventually figure some things out offensively, or for guys to eventually start making shots and making plays, which is ultimately what you got to do to win.
Coach, can I ask you about one play yesterday, just because we've had several calls of texts about this today? Explain to me what happened with the R.J. Godfrey foul flagrant. And did you know they had called what they had called?
Yes, I knew. I got word that that's what they were looking at. Obviously, from our side, it was a pretty good acting job, we felt like, on their part. I was very troubled by the whole thing. I thought it was much to do about nothing. I don't think RJ probably even knew that he was pushing the guy a little bit. I think it was way overblown in terms of how it looked. Even how far back you can go, and I don't have clear direction on that. And because I knew there was a play earlier in the game where their big guy threw one of our guys down. I was like, well, I'd replay that one. You know what I mean? Like, and try to get one for a flagrant for that one.
Right.
But I guess by the letter of the law in their mind, you know, it's a non-basketball play that looks like physical contact to some level, and so that warrants an F1, which obviously when there was already a foul call, now they got two shots for the foul, they got two shots for the flagrant, and they get the ball. I mean, that's a very big penalty. And obviously it stopped the game for about 10 minutes, and now all of a sudden they're on a run. And that was a turning point, and again, I'm proud of our guys for being able to overcome that, because that kicked you on your heels a little bit when all that was going down.
It was enormous. Unfortunately, it didn't cost you, but I mean, it was, if they hit the three there, it's a 7-point possession. It was unclear on TV and radio exactly what was going on. So,
I saw that they were looking at the TV showed a version of something else first, and that was not what they were looking at. So it was a little push that happened after we had taken a shot at the other end of the floor, and I think they maybe eventually got to that. But again, I didn't think it was that much. So, but
I got two more for you real quick. You've been very gracious with your time, and we do appreciate it. The people are loving it as well. Visiting with Brad Brownell for just a couple more minutes. I want to ask you about schedule for the rest of the week. Leading into Black Friday against Alabama A&M, 7 o'clock, Little John, be there. Should be a great time. Also want to ask you about the crowd in Charleston, because particularly Friday, like, the West Virginia folks were rowdy, and the crowd responded. And I felt like yesterday the crowd was behind you guys a good bit too. What was it like to have a lot of Clemson people in the stands this weekend?
Yeah, it was great. The West Virginia game, now, there was more West Virginia than Clemson. That was hard. I'm not going to lie. There was a lot of blue. A lot of folks getting out of the weather to come to Charleston, which is a heck of a place to come. But I think our crowd really got loud late when we started to make our comeback. You could tell that there were a lot of Clemson people in the gym too. We had to give them something to cheer for, and they got behind us, and I think that really helped us down the stretch of the West Virginia game. And then, you know, yesterday was terrific. Obviously, it was a pro-Clemson crowd for sure, and there's no doubt that had an impact on us throughout the course of the game, but especially in the second half and probably late and into overtime after that call that we talked about. I think it kind of rallied our fan base a little bit. It got them a little upset. And so then that got us going, and obviously it was helpful to finish the game.
Fantastic stuff. Rest of the week schedule as you guys are navigating Thanksgiving and then getting ready for Alabama A&M?
Yeah, we're off today. We may be off tomorrow. Guys have school. We got back late. That was a long bus ride back. You know, and then we're going to go twice on Wednesday. We'll have practice on Thursday morning, and then they'll come over to the Brownells, and Miss Paula and a couple of the wives will help feed the team, and we'll spend some time together, and then we'll have a game day shoot around on Friday and hopefully see a bunch of folks in Little John. Alabama A&M is actually a pretty good team now. They're 3-1. We need to get some folks into Little John and help just support these guys. They're going to be looking for fans, and we're hopeful that folks will take some time on Friday to come see us.
Well, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, certainly, you and the guys, and hope everything goes well in preparation. Can't wait for Friday. Coach Brownell, thanks for the time. Again, you've been very gracious today. Enjoy a day off for you guys as well, and we'll look forward to seeing you Friday.